Hello and welcome to the Change and Transition podcast with me, your host, Crystal Deborah Ikoli. Now, today's episode is all about relocating to Africa and running a business. This is a topic that I know a lot of people will have interest in because they've considered making the move themselves, but perhaps don't know how to do it and how to do it effectively. So I have spoken to the amazing Lexi, who I met back in 2018, and she's great. She has given us lots of tips on how to make the move and also told us about things to avoid. So I know you're really going to find this episode insightful, and I hope that you really enjoy it.
Hiya, Crystal. How are you?
Well, thanks. Yourself?
Good. I'm well. I'm good, thanks.
Brilliant. So today we're going to be talking about moving countries and setting up in Africa, but for you specifically, Ghana. So yeah, let's get started. So do you want to start by just telling us who you are and what you do?
So my name's Lexi Osubwahne. I'm an HR recruitment consultant, and I relocated from London, the UK, to Ghana, and currently live in Accra, in a nutshell.
Cool. All right. So first of all, I'm just really curious, what made you move from London? Mm-hmm. To Ghana?
So, I mean, if you've been to London, you understand why. Miserable. I was born and raised in the UK, but I had always had a passion for Ghana. And I promised myself once I graduated, I would come to Ghana for 6 months and do voluntary work. So I worked in different institutions. I worked in a refugee home for teenage mums. I worked in Konfanoche, which is a government like hospital in Kumasi, the Ashanti region.
Yeah.
And I worked in a couple of other places. And after that, my talent and my passion for personal development and training became evident. So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to go back to the UK, do a postgraduate in HR development consultancy, and come and set up an agency here because there was a need in the market. So that was one thing. And because I'm able to do that, I could set up anywhere. So I could literally live anywhere in the world. As long as I have a laptop and a phone and clients, I could work, right? I also have a daughter. And at that time, the pivot of young people getting into trouble, getting up to mischief, facing racial issues, facing, trauma, just as a growing, developing teenager in London, was just horrific. And it ranges from everything to knife crime to racism to, just at that stage, you're unstable anyway as a teenager. So she was just hitting her teenage years. And I thought, you know what? I don't want her to raise her in this environment. I want her to be in a place where everyone looks the same, sounds the same, where she can go and learn some discipline, where she can engage and learn a bit more about where our ancestors come from, where our historical values and views come from, where her grandma comes from. So I thought, why not do secondary school here? And then, see how that evolves. And then the last thing was my mother lives here as well.
Ah.
Well, she travels to and from the UK, but it's all her kids are in the UK, and we kind of all didn't know, what she gets up to on a day-to-day basis. If anything, God forbid, happened, where to go, who, and I'm the only single one out of our siblings. So I was like, do you know what? It's just me and my daughter. Let's just do this. What have we got to lose? So those were my three core reasons, really.
Yeah, so your heart for Ghana and wanting to add value, and you saw a gap in the market, and your family, so your daughter and also your mom too.
For sure, yeah, definitely.
Wow, I'm learning new things. I really am.
All right.
Okay, so I just want to just talk a bit more about your business. So I know that you have an HR organization.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I've had a look at your website, so I know that you do a bit of one-to-one
training.
You help place people as well. Mm-hmm. And is it correct that you help the diaspora to find work in Ghana? Is that how?
Yeah. So naturally, because obviously I live there, when I relocated and I was putting out jobs, looking for people that had graduated from local universities here that are looking for opportunities. People got wind of that, and out of that, I was able to build a pool of candidates here that are looking for jobs, but also people from, like, you know, the UK, America, and across Europe will contact me and say, "Oh, do you know what, Lexi? Are there any opportunities in Ghana for me?" So as a result, I created this initiative called the Diaspora Drive, which I do once a year. It's an event just bringing people together from all over the world who are looking for opportunity to invest, work, or live in Ghana, and just trying to help them. So if they want to set up a business, if they're looking for a job, if they want support with compliance or HR strategy, like really bringing them that together for them, and then also putting the panel together so they hear from people who have relocated themselves, share their experiences, their living everyday realistic challenges, what they overcome, what methods they used. And hopefully the idea is that it resonates with one or two of them, and they're able to apply some of the experiences they shared into their life when they're moving to Ghana, or when they're doing business in Ghana, or when they're coming to work in Ghana. So yeah, I do recruit diasporans.
I think it's wonderful, because I know also that the president of Ghana at the moment is really pushing this idea of getting the diaspora to come and contribute the things that we've learned back in Ghana. Have you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have actually a few times.
Yeah, it's very inspirational from what I've seen.
For sure. And he's really driving the notion of people coming back and contributing. And even if you look down our political lines in a few terms, maybe like 8 to 10 years ago, there was a guy who had come back from the UK, and that's how oil was discovered in Ghana, because, you know, he came, he was an engineer, and he was passionate about, you know, trying to explore what's in Ghana. And, you know, that's how they fumbled across the oil boom. So it's really encouraging to see that people coming here are, you know, doing phenomenal things. Like earlier today, I was speaking to my friend Tony, and he was just saying how many UK returnees have come and have set up businesses, whether it's like restaurants, or whether it's like entertainment industry, or in the media. Like, there's just so many of us that are just doing phenomenal things. So it's really exciting to see. It's and we're contributing to society.
That's it. And it's so inspirational. And hey, you never know, I might come and join you guys one day.
Yeah, you're too late. Hurry up, sis.
Okay, so we've spoken about this move. What do you feel needs to be in place before someone could move from the UK or wherever to Ghana?
Girl. Three things that you need in order to survive in this place. Survive your first 6 months to 24 months. The first thing is you need accommodation. So you need somewhere to rest your head, whether it's your parents' house, your uncle's, your auntie, or whether it's you're going to use your savings to rent a place for a year. That needs to be sorted, because the worst thing is that you thinking that you can come and stay in an Airbnb for 6 months, or in a hotel for 6 months, or even with friends for 6 months, because not everyone's reliable. The second thing is you need to be able to get about. So Uber works perfectly fine here. Yes, you hear horrific stories, but you hear horrific stories with Uber everywhere in the world, especially in America. True. But that's another story for another day. But, like, you know, Uber will take your money. Like, it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you sit in traffic, the fact that it's just an inconvenience, that, like, it's hot, you'd be hot and bothered. Mm-hmm. Like, so just as much as, you know, you may give yourself maybe 3 months or a year to try and be able to save for a vehicle, or again, go into your savings to buy one, yeah, transportation is definitely key. Because here's somewhat like America. You can't just walk to places. A lot of places you have to drive to, even if it's to buy milk or buy bread or whatever. And then the final thing is you need to have some form of income. So I don't advise anyone to just come on the whim. Obviously, when I first came, I came to volunteer. So I'd made up my mind that this is what I was coming to do. But if you're relocating here, you need some form of steady income, whether it's a consultancy, whether it's a job, whether it's a contractual role, or whether it's you're going to set up your own business and you have, you know, you have all your modules in place, your financial modules, your revenue modules, or whatever. But being able to pay yourself in that process, it's so important. So yeah, that's my top three need for Ghana, or for moving to Ghana. Yeah,
so somewhere to live, a way to get around, and some income. The thing is with transport in Accra anyway, is crazy. That's just from my experience.
Obviously, I've been here for a while and I've been driving. You just kind of, you can't beat them, join them kind of thing. I just try so much for them not to take advantage of me, but I'm also considerate, like, you know, when I'm driving. So I think these are just important facets that you need to keep in mind. Like, it's not going to be, it's going to be crazy, but you just need to take your time with it. Like, I have a friend, Irene. She recently relocated from Washington, and literally when she's going to certain places, she'll park her car and get an Uber. If she's going for like airport easily, they're gonna find it, she'll drive. But if she's going to like Tantra Hill, she'll just be like, okay, I'm gonna park and take me. So you just have to pick and choose, and it, like, you get better at practicing things, right? So the more you drive, the better you get at it, and it becomes slightly easier.
Yeah, good advice.
We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Now, here's a quick word from our sponsors.
Owing to the current climate, I've helped people to revamp their CVs for new roles and recognise that there is a growing need for this service. So if you or anyone you know wants some help, email me at info@varicoach.com. That's Vori, V-O-R-A-I coach.com, with the subject podcasts 20, and you'll get 20% off. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So you mentioned, your last point was about income, and one of the examples you gave was setting up a business of some kind. So I've heard stories about it being very hard to set up businesses in Africa in general. So I have a friend who wanted to go and set up a business, and it took ages to just register the business, and they ran out of money and had to return home. So any advice there?
You know what? I feel like, and like people say this all the time, I've had my fair share of challenges, right? But I'm so blessed to be in the position that I am today, where I can hire people, where, you know, we have, you know, a decent revenue turnover or break even or whatever. But you have to just keep going. Like, at the point of where they run out of money, they could have probably picked up their bags and gone, but come back and come with, like, you know, an even different plan, or even more money, or, you know, find another way of making it work. Because we've all been through that. We've all been in that situation of running out of money, or feeling like, you know, we haven't been able to achieve what we set out to achieve. So yeah, I could definitely resonate with that. But you just have to be determined. If this is where you want to be, like, for me, there was no option of going back. But I have that, like, mindset. Like, I'm that type of person. Like, if I want to do something, I'll see it through. And that's come to my benefit. So that's the advice that I can give, you know. If you want to live in Africa, if you want to live in Ghana, it's going to be tough. There is no two ways about it. but you just have to keep going. And you find that as you go on, you just gravitate to people that can support you, people that can guide you. You have to do the legwork of networking and meeting mm-hmm. people and asking for help and being able to ask for help from as little to as, you know, as big in order to, you know, help you through your journey. And you'd be surprised how many people will be willing to support you in, you know, various things. But it's definitely not easy. You just have to take each day as it comes, really.
Yeah. So what would you say then is your biggest obstacle then to date?
Oh, probably the people, I would say. Just dealing with the people. It's funny because since I've moved, I always say the biggest thing I've learned is patience. Like, you know, you're from the UK. What, food is taking 15 minutes? Nah, I'm not interested. I'm leaving. Now, it's going to take 30 minutes. I'll happily sit there. And even if it comes 45 minutes later, I'm like, okay, I appreciate it. Because you realize that some, it just isn't their fault. Like, a lot of the variables that make things a certain way is based on cultural norms or what's deemed as cultural norms. Yeah. It's based on people's lack of understanding and enlightenment or exposure. So you can't really blame people too much for their actions or inactions. I've just learned so much patience in this process.
Yeah.
So much patience. Because otherwise, you'd just be frustrated at trying to get things done and you'll never be able to get anything done. Because you've just spent so much time being frustrated. So you know how they talk about, you know, your reaction to things? It's so applicable here. Like, if you don't control your reactions to certain things, you will just never be able to achieve anything or you'll be miserable trying to do so. So, yeah, that's my advice. Yes. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, it definitely does. It's a different culture altogether. And I think sometimes we forget that we're so accustomed to the West and how things are done.
Yeah, for sure. Not
the application at all. So, So I'm just thinking in terms of moving over there, what has been the biggest adjustment for you? So, yes, you've mentioned patience, but what's been what the adjustments been and what's been the hardest?
Yeah, just like the people, just being able to understand them, work with them better. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still get mad at certain things right now, but you just have to adjust your mentality to think that, okay, you can't think for everyone. You can't micromanage everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do people's jobs, unfortunately. Like, it just is what it is. So you have to be able to understand this notion in order to move on to whatever it is that you want to move on to. But then also the you know, patriarchy thing of overly respect to, like, men. And, you know, as a result, you're just seen as this young girl, like, being in a man's world, basically. It's just, that, again, is so evident. But you have to just prove yourself. And those that will give you opportunities to sell your business or sell yourself or your brand or whatever, believe in it for you and, you know, won't believe in it because there's a hierarchy or because there's a patriarchy system, or, like, they'll just believe in your vision or whatever it is that you're selling. So you just have to keep doing you as much as possible, really.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You have to be quite resilient, I think, when you make it. But do you think that this move that you've done has been what you expected? Were there any surprises?
Oh, there's been many. Like, there's been many. And it's like from trivial things to, like, your car breaking down. Because you don't wake up expecting that to happen. Because you planned out your day. To, you know, you expecting to get paid for a job and instead of it being 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, it ends up being, you know, 9 months before you get paid. A lot of this isn't structured. It's not part of the plan. But it's just things that, you know, you just could learn to adjust and accustom with. And, like, especially if you're coming here to set up your own thing, like, there's a saying that if you're in business and you don't owe anyone money and anyone doesn't owe you money, then you're not really in business, because it's like a vicious cycle that you provide a service or a product to someone, there's delays in payments or you're not getting paid yet, and then vice versa, because of that you aren't able to meet a commitment that you may have promised, and it's just this continuation. And people don't talk about that, you know. People just go on like, oh yeah, it's fine, it's business, like, you know, we're just doing our big moves and everything is all right. No, there's times where you need to pay your staff, but there isn't enough money to do that. What do you do then? There's times where your rent is due, but there isn't enough money to do that. But yet you, someone probably owes you like $50,000, which could cover all of that and more. But, you know, people don't talk about that. And then also the last thing is how expensive it is in this country. And like, we take things for granted so much. So in the UK, and it's so funny how it's like, it's just so fast. So in the UK, you can get insurance for how much? Maybe like, I don't know, £500 a month, depending on what car you drive, maybe. Yeah. £500 a year or £1,000 a year. Here is maybe like £200 a year, right? Insurance. So some things like that, you're like, oh, wow, this is nice and cheap. But obviously, if you're living here and if you're not earning a certain amount, certain things like that will be expensive. You have to factor in healthcare. Healthcare is
painful.
No NHS. You don't have the NHS. So obviously the Americans are used to it, but for us, it's like there's no NHS. So these are things you need to consider. You need to think about petrol. You need to think about unforeseen circumstances that happen just because you're in a hot country. So like AC has to be constantly on, or, you know, if you're considering your workplace, then you have to think about electricity that isn't reliable and having a backup generator. And like all of these things that end up being like such a massive cost that you don't pay. Even internet, the internet that I'm sitting on the phone doing this podcast with you, is costly. Like, it's insane of how much internet is. Like, it's crazy. You've been here, so you understand.
I understand.
I think there's much regulation. It's like all these things, as much as we take advantage of it in the UK and we get more or less free internet and it's fast, you're here paying for internet and it's not as great. So again, the little things that people don't talk about. So yeah, so these are some of the things that you're just like taken aback. You're just taken aback when once you move here.
Yeah, people should consider it. It's really insightful, actually, just listening to you, because yes, even though I've been a lot, so growing up, my parents would take me back every few years. So I've been about 7 or 8 times. I'm used to it, but I haven't really lived here. So I guess there are things that I definitely take for granted. But I also know that there are great things about Ghana too. So do you want to tell us about something?
About
living and working.
So the weather, the social life, like, it's just nice. Like, this weekend is obviously Independence Day. We have a polo match on Friday. Like, it's just looking forward to it. And then some are traveling to Kumasi for the Independence March. It's just, like, a fun social buzzing. Like, in the UK, if you haven't heard from someone in a week, you are not bothered to go and knock on their door to see if they're okay. Here, someone ain't seen you in 2 days. They're like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. Are you okay? Just, like, that social element of being humanistic, you know, being loved and feeling the love. Not to talk less of like the food and how warm our food is, how warm our culture is, like the ray of sun you get, as much as it can be scorching hot, like you can still leave the office on a Thursday afternoon and go and have a cheeky tan in the beach, which you can never do in the UK. First of all, which beach? Second of all, your hours are counted. But these are just little things that just make you appreciate home so much, you know?
Yeah, I'm just smiling as you say all of that. Yeah, I really absolutely love Ghana. So I'm going to just move on slightly. So for those considering a move to, yes, Ghana, but Africa in general, I'm not sure if you can speak to that, but try if you can. What would be the first top tips for them in terms of what they need to know before they move, or things they should consider that we haven't really covered yet?
I think you should, I mean, just talking about Africa on a whole, so I've traveled to a few African countries. I've been to Sao Tome, I've been to Nairobi, South Africa, I've been to Morocco, Nigeria, and just like my, just like reviewing like and reflecting on some of these. I've been to Rwanda. Oh my gosh, of course, how can I forget that? One of my fave places in Africa. Just being able to travel, you know, like don't restrict yourself. So if you're Nigerian and you move to Nigeria, or if you're like Kenyan and you're moving to Kenya, like don't restrict yourself. Like go to other African countries, see what other investment opportunities there are in those countries. See what, you know, treasure bonds and APR rates they have in those countries. Because it might be that you might have a better investment opportunity out there than you do here. If we look at like some of our financial rates here in Accra, it's crazy. You're looking at 25%, 30%. But if you go to some African countries, not so much. And I was just talking to my partners today. We're talking about like land mass and land space, and as a result, how that enables property to be cheaper if there's like bigger land mass. I'm just looking at like, you know, other opportunities in different countries. So I think we should definitely, definitely consider that. Be open-minded. Like, don't restrict yourself to, you know, what it is you're doing, or, you know, what you're used to, or where your family, what your family is used to, what your family business is. Like, look beyond that. See where, what else you could do. See what other types of people you can meet, because you just never know what type of opportunities that can also bring your way. And then lastly, I would say really review your finances before you move, because the worst thing that can happen is you move and then you don't have enough money to sustain yourself. So you really need to think about, you know, how much savings do I have? Because the honest truth is it will finish. But have you put in enough things in place in order to reap some finances in order for you to survive within the interim? So you really need to just consider your finances. Because the worst thing is to be in Africa and to feel poor. It's the worst thing ever. So, yeah, that's my three top tips, I would say.
Very useful top tips. I'm just taking notes as you speak. That's what I'm doing.
Sure.
Okay.
So, as long as you get on a plane and come after, then it's good.
Okay. All right, then. All right. Final point is, where can we find out more about you and your business?
Okay. So pretty active on the socials. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and yeah, you can find me on all the socials, Lexi_Boahne or just Lexi Boahne. I've recently opened a cafe, Crystal.
I saw the message.
Yeah, cafe_Accra. So if you guys are ever in the East Legon area in Accra, please do check it out. It's just nice, warm and fuzzy food. We serve like pancakes, crepes, French toast, and English breakfast. Obviously, couldn't get rid of that even if you tried. But yeah, you can come, sit there, work, print, use internet.
Yeah,
you know, have some fresh juices, smoothies. It's quite cute. It's quite nice.
Okay, well, so, I have a seat too, so I will definitely.
Yeah, please.
I'm in the area. I'll definitely stop down.
Please do.
Okay, well, I will put all of your details in the show notes so that people can get in contact. Sure.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Lexi.
No, thank you as well, Crystal. I hope it was productive. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Now, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share for more inspiring content.